Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So did the leprechaun or trickster want to have a beer with Brad Stein?
Well, look, I wouldn't call him a leprechaun, of course. I would call him a Nisa or a Haldra folk. But that's approximately who they are. Leprechaun would not quite relate, but I say, you know, they're each... We call them the same, we call them different names from nation to nation, culture to culture, but we're all talking about the same wee folk, the hidden folk. That's what Haldr folk means, the hidden folk. And we're talking about the same entities that maybe we're talking about when we talk about the men in black. We're talking about the same entities when we're talking about the greys, or we're talking about aliens. Maybe they're alien in the sense that, no, I don't think they're aliens. I think they're cousins. I think they are I think they're our cousins. You know, the hidden world is the underground world. And we think of all the traditions in the fairy tradition or the Haldr folk Nisa tradition. And that's where you get trolls. And of course, trolls are not, they're not little creatures with big eyes and weird hair that sticks up. Trolls are very menacing and very large.
Yeah, and they
but at any rate,
paracast for them too from time to time.
Do they really? I wouldn't doubt that at all. But hey, I'm going on and on here. Let's move.
I wanted to move that because it's very interesting about culture and folklore and the fact that a lot of the things we talk about in the UFO field are also mirroring popular culture. And now, in the last couple of years, we've almost gone into kind of a folklorish fairy tale kind of culture. And I think in terms of what happens on TV and the movies. So, for example, in the movies,
isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah, we have Snow White and the Huntsman in the movies.
Yes,
we have
three versions.
Right, two different movies, one with Charlize Theron, the other with Julia Roberts. But Julia Roberts didn't make it because the other one also had the guy who plays Thor in the Avengers was one of the stars. He was the Huntsman. Okay, on TV we've got Grimm. On TV we've got Once Upon a Time, which is where all the characters from the fairy tales come to life in the 21st century.
Exactly.
What is there that has made shows like that so popular? I mean, it used to be spaceships. It used to be Star Trek. It's still Star Trek, obviously. So when did the folklore, when did the fairy tales come to play?
I find it just totally amazing. I thought, it's everything cyclical. I've just been astounded by it. I really have no explanation, no cogent theory to speak at this point. I'm watching it. I'm saying, how much longer will this last? I was really amazed when they got Grimm and Once Upon a Time got renewed for a second season. I mean, to be honest, I watched the first Once Upon a Time and I couldn't stay with it. I guess I felt, on one level, I felt offended, and on another level, I thought, no, I don't like the approach that they're using. Well, obviously, other people did, because it's popular, got renewed, but I just find it astonishing. Now, vampires, True Blood, I knew sooner or later that they couldn't stay with vampires, because, you know, vampires and you can't have vampires for long without having werewolves. And then you can't have werewolves for very long without having witches and sorcerers and zombies. So I thought if this catches on, which it did, they're going to have to add elements that probably weren't in the original Sookie Stackhouse novels, but they keep adding elements because, again, feeding this. And who would guess that zombies, The Walking Dead, would become one of the most, well, one of the very most popular series on cable. I think, Gene, wouldn't this have been great? Chris, wouldn't this have been great if this would have happened a decade earlier? You know, when we were about the only ones with 2-3 decades earlier. We were the only ones talking about this, with few exceptions. And I find it just astonishing that all those things that we were talking and writing about in the 60s is now kind of commonplace. Everyone seems to know about these things or become an expert on these things, and I'm fascinated to see the people writing about traditions, which I don't know where they're getting the traditions because I'm not aware of them, but they think it's the authentic. They think it's the original, and it's not. It's a whole new gospel of these creatures that's being presented at this time.
I can see it now, Gene. There's going to be a show out there soon featuring a team of tricksters going around playing hijinks on the control structure that's static in our culture, dictating everything.
I'll tell you what you have to do, Chris. What you have to do, Chris, is simple. Let's set down what they call in Hollywood a treatment and register it before the Writers Guild so nobody else steals the idea. Because you see the theft in Hollywood. I mean, you have two movies about. You just gave it away, man. We have two movies about Snow White in the same season, weeks apart. You have two TV shows about fairy tale characters premiering on different networks. You know, obviously each one is reading what the other person is doing and saying, okay, they just registered this idea, they just sold the pilot, let's come up with an alternate idea and try to get in on the glamour or whatever.
Right, we'll get Rosemary Guiley to do a treatment for a show on the gin. That would be great. I could see it now. Guys protecting the poppy crops over in Afghanistan, American military guys, and all of a sudden they're dealing with these gin characters. There have been a couple of sci-fi movies, I think, that have kind of briefly looked at that subject. But I think Brad brings up a very good point. What two, 3 decades ago was just inconceivable, now it's commonplace. And people have, I think generally, I think people, the level of awareness has risen to a point where these types of subjects not only are, you know, viable, they're actually popular. And I'm not sure what that says about our culture. I think it's disenfranchisement and disenchantment with the scientific community. I think we're seeing a wider and wider separation between scientific material realism and fantasy. And there's something really important going on there. I think it's distrust.
But think of this. Think of this, Chris. They wouldn't be seeing these dramas without the science that makes it possible for them to sit in their living rooms. So it's a strange combination of
irony
of the alternate reality and the traditional. So I've been wondering, too, if people had this hunger within for the old tradition, if we were just hardwired at one time in our ancient past to accept these kind of accounts as explanations for things that will always remain mysteries. With this whole tradition of the fairy lore, I think many people, besides we researchers, see the connection, at least on some level, of how close this is to the reports of abduction, people being taken away, thinking they're gone for a year and it's been only 2 days, thinking they've been gone for 2 days and it's been a month. That's part of the whole UFO tradition as well, as the ecclesiasticisms of ufology, if we can say that. Well, we have these same laws, so to speak, and traditions in the fairy lore, which is now incredibly coming out in our advanced technology. Before, we sat around campfires, we sat around the dining room table and told these stories. Now it's instantly a mass communication. Maybe some intelligence is keeping us at that folklore level. Maybe we hunger for that. Maybe we hunger for the kind of answers and solutions that particular tradition gives us. I'm just saying so many people are disenfranchised from the world that we face now.
And maybe science has failed us. That might be another theory we could look into. Science has failed us, so we go back to the legends of folklore. Of course, we still use science when you want to get in touch with us. You can contact us on Twitter, where we are known as the Paracast. Brad Steiger joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made, AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris is slowly building his trickster voice again. It's been a while. We haven't done trickster stuff, and now you're seeing, based on
Brad,
my
loving this, man. This is exactly where I was hoping the show would go, because, boy, you helped write the instruction manual on dealing with these subjects many years ago. Of course, I have to give a nod to the very important book, I think, Passport to Magonia by Jacques Vallée, which was, I think, his greatest work, actually, which really drills down on this subject, the subject of the traditions of we folk and fairies and elves and goblins and trolls, and how that kind of morphs into a modern technological sense here in the modern age. And I think this is really crucial ground that too many people have ignored for too long. You are one of the few pioneers that have really approached this subject in a real objective way, and hats off to you. I think you and Sherry have done great work in all the whole myriad of subjects that you've written about and researched, but this particular aspect is one that I find very, very crucial, and I'm really glad we're having this conversation.
Well, and in that regard, that's kind of what we're dealing with in the book in progress.
A book in progress. Tell me more.
Well, I'm not going to say much more than that, but it's dealing with kind of, well, I don't know if it's a tangent or not, but for some reason I just felt we should go here. Maybe because I know Gene is completely open, and I know that Chris is a fellow trooper in this area, a fellow theorist. But certainly, Chris, if you'd like, I can send you something in regard if you would like to make a contribution.
Oh, man, I'd be honored.
Yeah. So maybe we can make connection on that. I know it's unfair, Gene, just to talk about it and then move away, but it's basically encounters examining what they are. Are they part of this ancient tradition? Are they part of a incredibly new, advanced, almost magical technology? Are they occurring in other dimensions of reality? Are we translating the untranslatable in our present understanding of what is real? Are we translating these encounters into a theater, a manifestation that we can deal with, and perhaps never seeing the actual, never seeing what we're dealing with? We're only getting bits and pieces, which we then are translating as best we can using the traditions and the knowledge of science and the evolution of our thought from ancient time to present to interpret that. Now, did that make it perfectly clear?
I'm liking it. I've always thought that whatever it is that's here with us in this closed system, and I really do believe most, and I use the believe word, which I never do, but in this case, I believe that we are dealing with energies and intelligences that are as terrestrial as we are, and they're only couching their appearance and pretending to look like aliens so that we can actually deal with their manifestation, because what they truly are, we couldn't deal with.
Now, okay, I'm going to amplify that. I'm going to ask you to amplify that, Chris, because we have a lot of people there who have been brought up in the legends of UFOs being ET and all that stuff. So you'd suggest then, Chris, that the form in which they take, if we saw their real form, we'd be too frightened to deal with it?
Well, I think too gobsmacked and flummoxed, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
I think it's couching itself in a guise that we're able to ID and actually deal with on some emotional and intellectual level. I think it's all being done. It's all theater. There's this incredible theatricality that's involved in the so-called UFO ET subject, and I think it's all being done in a premeditated manner to hide the true nature of what that intelligence or intelligences really are.
There you go. You just said what I said in another way, Chris, and I agree completely. That is the position that I have evolved to from those days, Gene, back in New York, when we went to the UFO conferences, and we were very excited because they're here. I mean, we were nuts and bolts, unashamedly, and I unabashedly say it now. We were nuts and bolts then. We totally accepted that. We were excited by that. They have come. We've made connection. Well, over the years, as I just indicated, and as Chris just expressed so very, very well, that is essentially the position that I've taken now and that we've basically been kind of leading up to in book after book. And this one is when we're really going to get into it. Jungian archetypes, the works, you know, how all this meshes together.
You're talking my language.
We have to be talking here, of course, to an audience that is steeped in ET. And we have to show them that there are other directions. And I know we've gotten into where ufology is going on several episodes. Say 2 weeks ago, we had Nick Redfern talking about the future of ufology and kind of suggesting that basically if we didn't go anywhere with it, 50 or 100 years from now, we'd be dredging out the same old cases. We'd be talking about Roswell and Aztec and any crash that has not been mentioned in those two. And now we're trying to look at a different answer that maybe...
Always allowing, Gene, that the extraterrestrial theory may be valid in some ways in saying that we're not saying there isn't life in outer space. And this is not to say, though we're presenting what some people would say is an alternate theory, we're not saying that there is not life on other planets. We're not saying that perhaps in the very ancient 450 million years ago that all this didn't start with an extraterrestrial source. We're simply saying that what we have now is probably a phenomena that has always been with us, even before we became an upright, intelligent species.
So maybe these are the true owners of our planet? You know, that reminds me, there's a movie out
maybe
right now, and maybe you've heard of it. The one that produced by Joss Whedon called The Cabin in the Woods. And it's kind of all about that, about the true owners of Earth.
I'm glad you said that because we were going to watch it tonight, but Sherry thought it was a horror film and she doesn't like slasher films.
Well, it's kind of a horror film, but there's an underlying theme to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a mixture of reality show, horror film, zombies, and who are the true owners of this planet. And what must we do? What horrible things must we do to our population every so often to appease them?
Ah, sounds good. I know it's been on the show for, what, 3-6 years?
Something like that.
Because
it finally got released this year.
Thor was a college kid, and now, of course, I see he's in the movie, and he was just, I think that was his first movie, and he, of course, has moved on in other areas.
Right.
Now the actor who plays Thor, I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, we have Brad Steiger. He's written so many books, I can't mention them all. He's got a new title that is not being mentioned, although we might have some participation from our own Chris O'Brien in that title. We have a recent second edition of Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, and Haunted Places. And we're certainly raising a lot of cane here, I'll tell you. With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Since 1974, Evelyn Gibson has helped thousands of people live healthier, happier, and more productive lives. GibsonsHealth.com demonstrates, educates, and inspires customers to replace their healthy erosive lifestyles with a health-enhancing one. Now, clean up your body and colon without fasting using Herbal Fiber Blend from GibsonsHealth.com. Most colon cleansers require you to fast and do colon irrigations, but Herbal Fiber Blend is the only body and colon cleanser that cleans without fasting. A plaque-lined colon invites parasites and candida, and we are overweight because we must eat twice as much to absorb good nutrients. Herbal Fiber Blend also cleans the kidneys and liver, not just the colon. No other cleanser on the market compares to Herbal Fiber Blend. To buy Herbal Fiber Blend from Gibson's Health at wholesale prices, call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844. Or go to GibsonsHealth.com. Since 1974, over 30,000 healthier customers.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Chris is now getting into his full trickster mode. I can hear him cackling. I guess I can't hear him cackling.
Are you sure it's Chris?
I never know when he does that. I always think that he's trying to be a ventriloquist or is a little dummy, you know, like the little dummy. Remember that movie with Anthony Hopkins where the dummy takes control of the person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, so that's what's happening with Chris here. I'm kidding. But you'll watch The Cabin in the Woods and let me know what you think about it next time we have you on. But do you think that maybe there is a force on Earth, crypto-terrestrials, whatever, that really expects to be managing everything that's going on, or do we just attract mystical forces?
I think that is check all of the above.
Okay.
I think to say seeking to manage it, I think we would probably be egotistical to think that we haven't been managed all along. But then that's kind of depressing because we like to feel we are captains of our own fate, masters of our own destiny. And sometimes it's very difficult, you know, to say, well, maybe I'm not so really hot after all. Maybe I do have to recognize that there are forces beyond my control. And none of us really like to do that. You know, especially we're brought up in this nation where we're made to feel that we are our own masters of our own destiny. And that's left a big imprint, you know, watching the Gary Cooper movies and the movies of my youth that were all pretty much rah-rah rugged individualism. And this is something that we take pride in, I think rightfully so, but then we have to be open that, you know, maybe we're not masters of this planet. Maybe there are others living here that share it with us and have been sharing it with us as an alternate species, as a not a subordinate species, but perhaps a superior one. As I said, the we people, the whatever you want to call them, the Haldrefolk, the Nissa, the Puck and his merry band, it may be a companion species who really are older and wiser, much wiser than we are, and tolerate us, and from time to time they appear in one guise or another to offer their advice, or sometimes, if we're getting a little too big for our britches, purposely give us false information so that we proceed at a measure that someone else has laid out for us. And that becomes repugnant to many of us because we don't want anyone dictating our direction.
Yes, but you know, Brad, that also happens with organized religion where we surrender to the Almighty. That's being subservient to somebody or to governments where we accept their authority.
Right. I was just leading up to that and exactly my point. You know, we have that choice to make where we want to be co-equals. We want to be co-contributors to our destiny. And I think that is, whatever you want to say, and however we develop it, the free will that we certainly feel when we're reared in the environment of a republic, as we have been. We don't want to be subservient. And yet we do make that compromise with organized religion, at least many of us do. So we have this conflict, I think, that is an age-old, centuries-old, eons-old, that we as individuals must find our own compromise. And if we don't want to compromise, then we're kind of the outsider.
I agree. I think this is such complicated and it's like I forget who came up with the term, but it's like a hall of mirrors with quicksand floors. You know, as soon as you turn left, you realize you should have turned right. As soon as you look up, you realize your ear should have been on the ground. It's almost like whatever this intelligence is, it has the ability to guess or understand where we're actually going to go as investigators, as scientists, as, you know, pundits even. And that's why the whole thing about the trickster, I think, really fascinates me, because there seems to be an intelligent design. It's preemptive. It's pre-reactionary. And that, to me, has always fascinated me about this whole subject area. And, you know, where do you think this is going? I have a really good question here from one of our forum posters, Brad, named Sandemfire. He's been on the boards here for several years. And he asks, now that the paranormal frenzy of TV shows and expensive weekend seminars with so-called paranormal celebrities is on the wane, where do you see the field of paranormal research and investigation going from here? How do we reinstitute a quality of professionalism and scientific inquiry into investigating and researching such topics as ghosts, UFOs, multi-universal portals, and all matters of high strangeness? Good question.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I don't want to offend anyone, please. But I think the deluge of paranormal programming of the reality nature, I think, is working against us for getting acceptance. It's become, just as network news has largely become entertainment, we don't have, well, maybe some networks are still news. But if we go to our cables, we don't really have news, we have commentary. And I think the same thing has happened now with psychical research. And I'm not saying that, you know, it was due, I mean, it should only be a few of us who are so enlightened and so special. I'm not saying that at all. But by making it this entire mass thing where we have program after program of, I don't know who these experts are. I mean, with rare occasions, is there anyone I know of in the field? But suddenly they are authorities. They go all the dark at night. They bump into each other and say, something touched me. And then someone, and they never solve the case. They just go into a place and scare each other. That's not what it is to investigate a haunted house, a haunting,
no.
A supposed haunting. And I think that whole, I mean, I'm just amazed at how many programs there are that deal with some authority whom is self-appointed, I guess, and has convinced some producer and director that he is an authority or she is an authority. And I'm not meaning to offend. I'm just saying, where did they come from? What was their background? What of the literature do they know? What do they know of the history of psychical research? you know, you mentioned some very established names like Crooks and so forth, and some of the research that they did, and William James. They don't know who you're talking about. Their background isn't the same. They have, it's just as we have in the movies right now. We don't have young directors and writers who have read literature, who have read books. We have people producing movies who have only seen movies. And that's why we have, I think, such a repetition and the sameness and monotony to our films. Well, I think this incredible deluge of the paranormal programming is setting serious research back. I'm not going to say 20 years. I don't know. I just think it's set a serious acceptance of our research. It's now looked like anyone can do it. Anyone, hey, gang, instead of let's have a musical, as Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney used to say, it's, hey, gang, after the football game, let's go to a haunted house. Or, hey, gang, let's go work the Ouija board. Again, it's that situation that we've been warned against since de Tocqueville wrote his take on American society, is the common denominator does dissipate and stretch the reality or the validity of particular areas to such a common acceptance that it loses its specialness, it loses its seriousness as research, and becomes simply anyone can do it, anyone can talk to a ghost, anyone can haunt a house, and we've just watered it down too much.
That's our reality show culture. Brad, we'll get into more of this in a moment.
Oh, man.
We have Brad Steiger with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Here it is, another election year, and here you are again wishing you knew more about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the other amendments, and the Declaration of Independence. But who has the time to study? Wouldn't it be nice if you could simply listen to them? And wouldn't it be great if they came packaged with an index? Yep, an index that lets you go to any part of the founding documents just by punching in a track number on your computer or CD player. What exactly is the Ninth Amendment? Track 10, play. It's that simple. The Founding Documents Collection on audio CD. To get yours now, just go to Amazon.com and type in Founding Documents Collection CD. For just $19.95 and $3.99 shipping and handling, you'll have the firepower you need to argue from the ultimate facts that form our nation's foundation. Want to be a hero? Get one for you and give another to your local school for Constitution Day. Go to Amazon.com now and type in Founding Documents Collection CD.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Brad Steiger joining us this week on the Paracast after an absence of a couple of years. He's a prolific person with loads and loads of books out there. You look up Brad Steiger, and he owns half of the catalog over at Amazon, I think. His most recent book, Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, and Haunted Places, second edition. He is working on an untitled piece. Chris was asking questions from our forum members at forum.thepowercast.com. Chris, you got some more questions?
I do indeed. This one comes from Pixel Smith, who is arguably, I think, our longest poster. He's been around since 2006, posting at forum.thepowercast.com. And he starts out by acknowledging your role in his process, similar to mine. And Brad is the one who got me interested in UFOs when I was just a kid. He was a friend of my Aunt Irene, and she had all his books available for me to read. Sounds like your grandma, actually, you know, when you went over there and was just,
yes.
She had that wonderful library that actually turned into a library. Brad, his first question is, have your views concerning the UFO field changed over the years? I think we kind of briefly touched on that. But the second yeah. question, I think, yeah. is a good one. What subjects fascinate you the most now that you have researched and written about so many topics over the years?
I guess it remains the same. The prehistory of humankind, as I dealt with in Worlds Before Our Own and in Mysteries of Time and Space. Who are we really?
Yeah.
In Worlds Before Our Own, I predicted then that it wouldn't just be Homo sapiens and Neanderthal, but there would be at least 5 or 6 hominin species existing at one time in our early history. And we've made it now with Denisovan land found in Siberia in the last couple of years, and we're pushing recognized archaeology, anthropology is pushing our history as a species or companion species farther and farther back. And we recognize then that it wasn't just Homo sapiens and Neanderthal walking around at the same time and interbreeding, but there were at least 3. We have the Florensis, you know, the little people who seem to be
the hobbits, yeah.
individuals. And then we have, as I said, Denisovan land now in Siberia. And I think we're going to be finding more and more in South America. And as the ice melts, I think we may see more and more evidence of a very advanced prehistoric civilization that existed before the Ice Age.
Wow,
I think
very interesting.
More and more artifacts.
That's a really good point. You know, with the retreat of the ice layers up at the poles, especially at the North Pole, I think you're right. It may uncover some really cool evidence. Go ahead.
I think in Antarctica, we also are going to make some startling discoveries.
Do you, in making these predictions, have any idea when it's going to happen? And if it happens, will we even reveal it?
Good point, Gene.
I have been astonished at the revelation of many cities and temples that have been found very recently. I think we're going to find more evidence, and this I said in Worlds with Our Own too, and that's why you might remember, Jane, at the time the book was, there were articles and newspaper accounts and articles calling for the book to be burned because I was insulting both science and religion. But in that, I suggested, and really insulting some people, not intending to, that we're going to find the cradle of civilization was in South America, not in the Tigris-Euphrates valleys and not in Sumer. They certainly may have coexisted. That's one thing we're finding, too, with these hominin species. We had out of Africa, and that's probably where Homo sapiens came from, yes. But now some people are recognizing. And I had, after I'd written an article, I had one of the professors involved in the dig of the city that they found in the, when a lake went dry in Russia 4 or 5 years ago. They found a city no one knew about that they said was at least the equal, if not superior, to Athens at the height of its glory, in a laid bottom of a lake in Russia. So this man said, you know, we don't want to get into a racist thing if you're arguing about out of Africa. But he agreed with my premise that the evolution of what became Homo sapiens and humankind today in these hominin species probably evolved in both Asia, parts of Europe, South America, and Africa at the same time. Now, that is going to open up several doors to the people who like the ancient astronaut theory and those of us who say that maybe we had a little help in our genetic engineering along the way. But we're just going to, I feel, in the next 10 years, have so many discoveries and revelations that the old textbooks are just going to all have to be rewritten.
Boy, I can't wait for that. I'll tell you, I've always had a sneaking hunch that we just, academia and modern science are not omnipotent. They don't know everything. And anytime new discoveries that are paradigm shifting in our understanding of reality, anytime these things surface, I think it's really good for us because it shows the infallibility of accepted thinking or you know, whatever is the accepted norm in academia. And it's always good to have these guys realize that they don't know everything. And I think this would also help people, you know, become more in touch with the scientific and academic communities and will temper this enthusiasm to jump towards the fantasy and the high strange. I think we have these scientists and experts on such, you know, high ivory towers that they remove themselves from the average Joe. And the average Joe is going to want to watch Twilight or some of these, you know, ghost hunting shows that kind of fills the gap in their sense of inquisitiveness. And these types of discoveries that you're predicting, I think, are really important for the average guy moving forward in his understanding, but also his connection with the scientific and academic communities. I think that's a really good point. I have another question for you here. This is a little bit off topic. I really love where you're going with this, and I really hope you're right. But this comes from Parareality Saint. He's been a poster here at forum.theparacast.com for a couple of years, and he would like to know what you think about ergot poisoning and the possible influence this might have had on early descriptions about lycanthropy and its changes in mental and physical behavior. Could this have been the basis for the eventual werewolf we know of today? And if so, did he see or did you see a change evolve from an explanation of a real phenomenon, the disease, into a more mythical monster-type characterization, let's say, of, say, Lon Chaney's beastly persona? It's kind of a long question, but I think you get the gist of it.
Yeah. Now, I deal with the ergot poisoning in my werewolf book, which is also in its second edition, came out last year at this time. The ergot poisoning, of course, occurred much later in the lycanthropy tradition or the werewolf tradition. Let's remember that there was a time when we all wanted to be werewolves. The wolf and the human came together and evolved together. The human and the canine evolved together and have established a bond and a relationship that has not failed. And it is stronger today than ever with our connection with our canine pets. But there was a time when we all danced like wolves before we went on the hunt to bring our wolf character alive. So this goes way back, at least 120,000 years ago, when we all wanted to be wolf, when the wolf was the great teacher. Both Sherry and I have studied with Shaman and have been adopted into different tribes. And we are presently a member of the Seneca Wolf Teaching Society. And the shaman teaches that wolf is the great teacher. Wolf is the one that taught us all we know about being civilized. And that is true. We based our pattern of our family on the wolf. So way back, you see, 120,000 years ago, we were becoming wolves literally as we danced. Then as we progressed, we had, well, Valentine's Day. It is the celebration of the werewolf or wolf, and that's long before the ergot epidemic.
I have to ask you more about that because that is fascinating, and it raises so many considerations. By the way, the book that Brad's talking about is the werewolf book, The Encyclopedia of Shape-Shifting Beings, and that came out last year in the second edition, still available. We have Brad Steiger joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8-inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.